Hello, friends. Today's episode is brought to you by From Within Records. If you haven't had a chance yet, head over to fromwithinrecords.com and pick up some FYA leftovers while you still can. I know the hoodie and the shirt sold out. There's still some hats and other good stuff on the web store. So please head over to fromwithinrecords.com and support the label. If you're not following From Within Records on social media, please boot up your Twitter, your Instagram, click that follow button to stay up to date on all the current news. And like I always say, please support From Within Records because they support us. If you're looking for high quality merch for your band or for your business, please hit up my friends over at Good Fortune Printing out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. You can follow them on Instagram at Good Fortune Printing. Or if you want to get in contact with them, please email them contact@goodfortuneprinting.com. You can thank me later. Before we get into today's guest, breaking news weekly, did an interview over at allkpop.com. That's where I get most of my news. Shout out allkpop.com. But they did an exclusive interview and they're coming to America, which is amazing because there was a point in time where I thought weekly was going to hang it up. I was thinking maybe I was going to have to go to Korea to catch them there, or maybe London because they frequent London a lot. But I was so sad that I'm existing is the same time as my, you know, top three, right? It's Twice, Stacey, Weekly. I'm existing at the same time as one of my top three favorite K-pop groups of all time. And I haven't had a chance to see them, right? I've seen Twice multiple times. I've seen Stacey multiple times. But the fact that I hadn't seen Weekly just really bummed me out. But waking up to that news today, also there's a new single out, Stranger, which we'll be doing a music video reaction to later. But anyways, just hearing the fact that they're coming to America finally, it's amazing. We're going to multiple stops. There's going to be an LA one, obviously. That's like standard for K-pop. You come to LA. If I have to go to Oakland, San Francisco, Seattle, whatever, I'm going to see Weekly more than once. I'm not sure who is bringing them out, but whoever it is, I'm going. I cannot miss Weekly. I'm the number one daily. I have to see Weekly. That's it. So that is amazing. And I am so stoked on that. And I hope all of you support Weekly because they're amazing. But anyways, today we had to track down some of the members of a band called Spit Out from Colombia, right? Jeff, Carl, and I traveled to Colombia for the 100% Hardcore Festival, which was amazing. And I wanted to have people on that were at the festival so we can talk about it because it was an amazing time. So this is the first of a couple that I have. Spit Out was a band that Jeff Feet First put me onto. I instantly was digging their demo, which is on Spotify, YouTube, pretty much wherever you listen to music. They're such a sick band. And I was lucky enough to meet them. Awesome people in person, really nice, very kind. So I was thinking, this is a no-brainer. They need to come on the podcast. So I reached out and they were down. So I was able to have Andres, David, Felipe, members of the band on the podcast, and it was just awesome to be able just to talk to them again because I didn't want that to be just a memory left in Bogota. I wanted to keep our friendship going, so they were nice enough to come on the podcast, and I had a great time just hearing about their scene, the plans for Spit Out, and how Spit Out came together. It was seriously such a great time, and it was an honor for me to have them on the podcast. Hopefully they come back on in the future. Hopefully I get out to Bogota again, right? That's the plan, right? If the 100% Hardcore Festival happens again in December, Jeff, Carl, and I will be traveling out again to document it. And it's something that I hope happens because I actually had a great time. It exceeded my expectations. Columbia was awesome. Spit Out is awesome. So please hit pause. Go listen to Spit Out, support them, go watch the Bogota vlog. There's some live footage of them. It was awesome. And head over to Feet First Productions. Watch the live set over there. Support Jeff. Go follow Carl Gunhouse on Instagram. Support all of his photography. Great friend. And then come back here and listen to me talk to three members of Spit Out. It was awesome. So please strap in, enjoy this conversation. Without further ado, welcome David, Andres, and Philippe to the show. Recording. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy to have members of Spit Out here on the podcast today. Can you each take turns introducing yourselves?
Well, I'm going first. I'm David. I'm the bassist. And yeah, that's all. Who's next?
My name is Felipe. I'm the second guitar, and I make the production of the music of the band. I'm the music producer, basically.
Nice.
Oh. Andre,
your mic's muted.
Okay, now can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Perfect. So sorry, G. Well, my name is Andre. I'm the lead guitarist, if there is a lead guitarist. And well, I think that's almost all.
Okay, well, I'm just so happy to have you guys on the podcast, because leading up to the festival in Bogota, you guys were the one band that I checked out that stuck out to me. And shout out to Jeff from Feet First for putting me onto your guys' music. So, like, leading up to the fest, I was really into your guys' music and really looking forward to seeing you guys perform, and then actually getting to experience your guys' set live and getting to meet you guys in person. I feel like it made me like you guys even more, just because you guys were all so very nice. So thank you for that. And I appreciate all of you, you know, taking the time to do this today, because this is something that I've been wanting to do. I reached out to some people from the fest, and this is, just one of a couple of podcasts that I'm doing with people that were at the fest in Bogota. So I truly appreciate your time today. So thank you.
That's nice. Thanks to you for talking us. That was a big surprise, you know, because we don't even think that people out of our country listen to our music, you know, it's a big surprise for us.
Yeah, it was kind of surprising to know that, first of all, the Feet First production team knew about us, and that, like, the Raw Brigade, like, people, I think they're like a people now, known about our music, and they were talking about it. I mean, we're just a one-year band. We're very new in a kind of way. So it was very surprising for us.
Yeah, well, Jamie, actually, yeah, thanks for inviting us, also for everything that you said. As they said, it was like a real surprise for us, to people in the US, to listen to our music, because, well, we are actually a new band, and I don't know, that so many different people listen to our music in just 1 year. It's just amazing. And being here with you is also something that I didn't imagine until, well, now it's happening.
All right. Yeah. Well, can we jump back to
this? This is a great achievement. Oh. But continue.
Oh, no problem. No, this is a great achievement for me too, because I love having on bands, that aren't from the United States. So I really appreciate your time. But I'm curious, you guys mentioned that you guys have only been a band for a year. Can we go back to the very beginning? Can you talk about how Spit Out came together?
It is funny. It's kind of funny, I think. I mean, some of us met each other some years ago. Like David and me knew from different like concerts, like metal concerts back in the day when we were like 13, 14. We were much younger than we are just now. And the same with Felipe. We meet each other having like a metal band some years ago. And yeah, it's kind of funny because it was like all the people we knew melded in a time, the year ago, when every one of us met each other and every one of us were listening to the same music, to the same genre. And we ended up making something we didn't have much hope for, at least me. I entered to the band not knowing what was I about to do, and well, here we are.
That's awesome. And had you guys played in bands before?
Think all of us have played in different kind of bands, like as Andrew said,
yeah, before, we talk about different genres. Yeah That's a funny thing about that.
And
we basically tried to make every week.
We had this metal band, like we were like, I don't know, 15 or 16 years old. And then I said to Andre, like, I wanted to be in a new band and everything. And he told me about a Spit Out because I was the last member to join. They started like a few weeks ago before I joined the band. But yeah, we actually met from different bands. We all had like different genres of bands before Spit Out.
Okay. And with Spit Out, can you talk about the inspiration on why you guys are playing that type of hardcore?
Yeah,
I think that's something David could say.
Okay.
That David should say.
Yeah, we when we start the band, we all of us have an idea of do a different way of hardcore that eventually you listen here, you know, because the hardcore, the local scene is, you know, the most of bands sound like Madball, like, you know, all that old school bands. So the first inspiration for start a band was bands like Expire, like Gulch, that type of bands like there, because you know we're still small people, we're still young, so we really don't grow with that old school hardcore music and that. So, you know, the bands that we have on our eyes was bands like Gulch, like Expire, like Soul Search. That type of bands was like our inspiration to make the music that we make now.
And well, that's also awesome. I think that it's the people like is around us. We're not only like the band, but the friends that are around the band. That have shown us music, bands, and well, that's kind of our inspiration because, like you said before, we had different bands before Spit Out, like had Insumisión, for example.
Yeah, like I play in a slam band called Covenant before I started Spit Out. Andre was playing in a hardcore punk band called Zero Tolerance. They play in the second 100% hardcore fest. They was like a big and straight edge band, and Felipe was playing like in a Chugis project, and yeah, we're still in different bands before start playing in Spit Out. So yeah.
Yeah, from all of that, it comes our inspiration. It's not only music, but everything we have lived to this point with hardcore.
Okay. And can you talk about what the local scene is like out there? Because I know I got to see it from a different perspective, because, you know, traveling down for a big festival, sometimes I can understand that that might not be the best representation of a scene. So I'm curious, outside of the fest, can you talk about what the scene is normally like?
Well, who first? Well, I think personally that hardcore is something that, I mean, if in the US hardcore is some kind of underground thing, here in Colombia and even in Bogota, that is the big city, hardcore is still being under the side of very few people. There is not much people that wants to talk about hardcore or that listens to hardcore, or even there are people that cannot divide like where the hardcore starts and it separates from other genres. And it is bad as it is good, because here in Colombia and in Bogota, like the concerts, the gigs are mixed.
Mm-hmm.
And well, it creates an ambient where everyone should be included, but we cannot like not take into account like the problems of this scene. There is a lot of questionable people that really take some ideas to being, I don't know how to say it, but I mean, they're questionable. How can I say that? I mean, they're not radical, but I mean, like,
¿qué quiere decir?
No, es que ni en español sé cómo decirlo.
Pero ¿qué quiere, de qué está hablando? O sea, ¿qué quiere decir?
Que hay gente cuestionable. There are people, I mean, I don't want to say like rogue words, like raw words, but there is a lot of people that have done terrible things to other people and no one takes that in care. Everyone is blind to those kind of actions, and everyone is afraid to say it aloud that someone did something terrible to something because they are friends, because they have years in the scene. And well, I think that's it, like the dark thing about this scene in a kind of way. Yeah,
that's everywhere. Even out here in the United States, there's, you know, people who will get special treatment because of, you know, who they're friends with, and people will try to sweep it under the rug and not let it come to light. But I think even though it may be hard and it might not be the most popular thing to do, I think it sometimes it's best just to make that hard decision to call out people for doing wrong things in the scene, because we want the scene to, you know, be able to, you know, be welcoming and you know, be safe to a certain extent. Obviously hardcore is very violent, but obviously, like, we don't want to be you know, housing terrible people who are doing bad things, you know, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, shall we?
One thing that I did notice, if you can maybe clarify, because I went to the pre-show before the fest, and it seemed like there was two different crowds at that show, because I was hanging out in the lobby by the restrooms, and I could clearly see like these two different groups, just purely based on how they were dressed. I'm like, okay, I can tell that it's like obviously hardcore, you know, punk, metal, we're all under this one umbrella. But that night I felt like the scenes didn't really intermingle, they just kind of kept to themselves. Is that fair to say?
We could say.
Como que no se llevan bien, como que no nos llevamos bien con ese tipo de gente, ¿sí?
Como que sí, como que a fin de cuentas las escenas como que no se mezclan.
Okay, yeah, that's true. That's because, you know, there are two kind of people in the hardcore punk scene. you know, there's some people that likes more the pogo and likes more, you know, just stay like this in the shows,
like circle pit and those kind of things.
Yeah, and there's other kind of people like we are, well, like, yeah, other type of people that just prefer moshing and things like that. And the problem with that is, like, you know, the bands, in a time we're going to play with the both bands, you know, like the punk bands with the hardcore bands, and the crowd is going to stay, you know, there. And yeah,
it is problematic.
It's problematic. And you can see clearly that the crowd is going to be like, oh, they are just that guys that are moshing, and they are just the other guys that is like more the punk scene. That is.
Yeah, it was very interesting for me, because you know, I traveled to Bogota, and I, you know, was you know, there with Jeff, and obviously I knew the bands from America, but everybody else, I, you know, I didn't really know who was who. So I remember the pre-show, I was just kind of observing, right? Just kind of just trying to be a fly on the wall, just, you know, see how things operate down there. And it was very cool for me to see the next day, to see like, okay, here are the actual hardcore kids. Like I recognize, like, you know, like David, you were at the pre-show. I remember thinking like, oh shit, like I didn't even know that there was members of Spit Out at the pre-show. Because, you know, like I said, I didn't know who was who at the logo show, but I'm finally getting to, you know, pick out like the actual hardcore kids just, you know, by seeing you guys at the fest. I thought that was really cool.
I wasn't in the pre-show, but that's something that actually happens a lot, that the scenes like merge, like the punk scene and the hardcore scene merge, but not at all. Like we share spaces, we share gigs and everything, but at the end, in the gigs, we are just like, there's the hardcore kids, there's punks, there's other people that just want to be there because, I don't know, some other reason. But yeah, at the end of the day, this seems like merge, but not completely. Like the people just share the spaces, but don't share each other. Like,
don't share conceptions. It will be impossible for someone looking at a punk, like a Colombian punk, doing mosh, doing crowd killing, doing those kind of hardcore kid things. But you will see, no, even that, you will see like the hardcore kids most of the time will be like kind of annoyed because of a circle pit on those kind of things. And it's something that always happens. People on here has a misconception of each other likes and dislikes. And well, that creates like some funny scenarios where people start fighting and those kind of things. David knows about that a lot.
That actually happens in a lot of our gigs, but it's not our intention. But in some of our gigs, something happens. Someone fights with other people because of the, I don't know, a punk guy fights with another hardcore kid and something like that actually happens. But that's not our intention, but it's something that just happens when they're moshing, or I don't know, just some people, you know, even make crowd kill and things like that, and that just finishes in fighting.
Yeah, it's crazy because you know, hardcore kids and punk kids, like, we're all so similar. Because there's scenes out here where, you know, hardcore punk, like, they go hand in hand, and the scenes, you know, mesh well together. But then also, I know there's other punk scenes that absolutely want nothing to do with hardcore. Like, there's some amazing punk bands that I wanted to, you know, have on this podcast, but since this is like more of like a hardcore podcast, like, they just refuse to do it, which, you know, it sucks, but you know, that's just how it is. But to me, it's just like, I feel like that division is just a little strange, because obviously, you know, hardcore and punk, they're so, you know, closely tied. They go hand in hand. And I don't think, you know, there should be a division like that. I feel like we would be stronger together, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we would think that. Yeah, we think that this is just a stupid division, because the genres are more, you know, it's like the same thing at the final day. Yeah, so, and I don't know, but I think that in other places, like, I don't know, in the US, you see that everyone listens to everything and everyone dance the music like they just really want. You see punks moshing and things like that, but here is, yeah, it's just a different thing to see. And, you know, that's a shit, that's just like a stupid division. I don't know, but yeah, is that we think just that in the right way.
Okay. And one thing that I noticed out there in Bogota, like straight edge is like a popular thing out there. Can you talk about maybe like why that is such a popular thing? Because I've been straight edge for a long time, and you know, it's been a while since I've gone to a scene where I felt like the straight edge presence was like really strong and people were actually passionate and cared about it. So can you talk about why that is in Bogota?
Okay. Well, the three members of the band that we are now right here, we are straight edge. But, you know, the thing is, in the local scene, really, we don't have a lot of people being straight edge. Yeah, that's not, it's like that. But, you know, in the fest, come people from other countries, and, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that is straight edge. But yeah, I don't know. I think Andre can talk more about that.
Oh, your mic's muted.
Andre.
Again.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Sorry. I'm trying not to be nervous. Sorry.
You're all good.
Okay. I think that it's something that has been happening like some years ago. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people that started being straight edge like not much ago, and it started with some pushing from some local bands and some people that do art, that do representation of what the straight edge movement is. It's not that much. I think that I have met some 2 or 3 people that became straight edge in a fully way during these last years, some young people, but there is a lot of other people that start being straight edge and they're not after a week, because it's not for them, because they feel limited, because a lot of things happened. And like I knew a lot of that because, maybe like David said before, I played last year with a band called Zero Tolerance. We were like a vegan straight edge band in the time, and something I saw in those times were like our Instagram feed were full of people like talking about the straight edge state of mind, the straight edge philosophy. But at the end of the day, when I met that people in real life, we ended up seeing that were people like that were drinking, that were having like small spaces in their straight edge lifetime in which they could drink, they could smoke. And well, the problem here is that people don't take into account that straight edge here in Colombia and in South America, more than just a life decision, is also a political way of thinking. Because we're in a country, we're in a continent that has been affected by the drug consumption all around the world. And well, most of the people on here don't take that into account most of the time. And the consumption of drugs most of the time is just like a decision of their lives. And well, that ended up being everything for them. Like a selfish decision.
All right. There's not that, you know, for as many people as there are like out here in Southern California, like we're on like a short edge of straight edge bands. So, oh, hey, Kitty. But there's a band from LA who I'm friends with. They're a band called Firestarter. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have heard
kind of.
Yeah, so like that band, like they are straight edge, and I like love them, like great people, great people. But on top of them, like, you know, being great people, they're representing straight edge. And right now, out here, we're in a time where it's more rare to find a straight edge band out here. So like, just for them to be active in the same time that I'm around, I'm just so happy that they're representing something that I truly, you know, love and have been representing like my whole entire, well, not my whole entire life, but since I, you know, found hardcore, I basically became straight edge, you know, because of hardcore, and it's, you know, been with me like the whole time. So I'm, you know, it's been so long, but like moments like that when I travel to, you know, Bogota and get to, you know, see like straight edge in a different perspective, something that I've never experienced before. And then even just seeing a band like Raw Brigade and how much love and support that they get, it was such an awesome time. So I'm just like, I was just really stoked on it because, like I said, out here, there's a ton of straight edge people, not a lot of straight edge bands. So to be in another country with the crazy history of, you know, drugs. But to still find that there's a strong straight edge presence, I just thought that was amazing.
Well, yeah, I think that the fact that there's many reasons to become a straight edge, because in my personal experience, I became a straight edge because I had a problem with alcohol and weed and things like that. And fortunately, in that moment, well, I knew Andre and other people in the scene, in the local scene, that were straight edge too, so I kind of feel like a safe place for me, because I had this problem and I wanted to be sober, because that brought me a lot of problems in that moment. I've been straight edge for a year and a half, and I don't know, besides of the hardcore scene, I think that straight edge and the hardcore have been like together for a long time. Like, it started with Minor Threat and all that stuff in the 80s, and nowadays it's been really strong how the straight edge community and the hardcore scene are being together. And I don't know, I think of course there's also this view of well, there's been always this problem, well, not always, but a long time ago in the 80s and even the 70s, we had this problem in Colombia with the drugs, cocaine and weed and everything that everything comes with it. But yeah, I think it's also a political view to have, because well, we're a third world country with drug problems, and you know, and I don't know, I think it's our way to fight against that. I think that
that's awesome. Yes, straight edge forever. But that's great. I'm happy that you found straight edge. I'm so glad, just by chance, because right, I reached out to the band. I didn't realize I was going to get the three straight edge members. So no diss to the other members. I wish all the other members could have been here too, but I think it's awesome that the straight edge is here. So thank you. And can you talk about, because I'm always so curious, right? Because you know, the fest is over. You know, what is the scene like now? Have you guys played a show since the fest, or has there been any hardcore shows? You know, like, how often does that happen out there in Bogota?
The scene is dead, basically.
Yeah, that's true in a part of way, because, you know, how I say before, In the fest, you see a lot of people from other countries. You see a lot of people from other cities from here. And yeah, for persons like you that are traveling just for staying one fest in one show, that's you know, that's going to be amazing, and it's going to see like, oh, the other shows are going to be like that. And really, no, that's not happened. The scene in Bogota is really small, you know. There's no too much people that really go to shows and really go to see the bands, or there's no too much people that are making new bands or things like that. So, you know, in the end, it's like the shows are good, but they're just stay like small shows, you know?
Yeah, actually, yeah. That happens a lot because, for example, there's like this old bands group, like they just want to play between them, and they don't like actually to play with new bands or new sound. They like that old hardcore sound. I don't know how to explain it, that's also talking about the merging of the scenes. I don't know. For example, after the festival, we had a little gig with some punk bands, cross punk bands. I think some were like grindcore bands. I'm not sure. And that happens a lot because the hardcore scene here in Bogota is actually small, and the old bands just stay with, I don't know, they're not open to new ideas or new sounds. And that's not good, but well, we just want to do our noise, and that's all.
All right, well, Spit Out has to be, you know, you guys have to be the reason to, you know, bring out all the new kids and inspire people to, you know, check out new bands and to start new bands and to hopefully get more shows going throughout the year. Because is it easy to book a show in Bogota, or do you guys have trouble with venues, or what's the situation like out there?
DIY.
Well, it's like here we don't have a lot of venues, like could be in US. The, you know, more venues are like small places like bars or things like that. So it's easy to make shows, but we don't have like, you know, great places for make shows, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. We cannot do like a festival by ourselves. And it's impossible because there are not like that much of bands to make a festival on here.
True.
Only like, you know, from local bands.
Yeah, that's it. And we don't have the crowd for, you know, in the end you have to pay the venue, you have to pay the sound. And if you go to a big venue, to a big place for making a show, you know that
play in front of a lot of people.
Yeah, it's not going to be a lot of people in the show for pay that type of shows. So that's a big problem, but you know, we do what we can.
Okay, so I'm just a little confused because when I was at the fest, like I could pick out who all the, like, you know, people from America was, but I feel like the room, you know, versus like the people from America, it was a very small number of Americans there. So where are all those other people from? If it's hard to, you know, get people to come out to a show, because that venue seemed pretty packed out. There's a lot of people there.
Yes, it's a big venue, but you see a lot of Latino, you know, was a lot of people from Honduras, a lot of people from Costa Rica. Un saludo para Mauricio y para Andrés. Aprovechando, a lot of people from Mexico, un saludo para Chevy. You know, a lot of Latin people go to the fest. So, you know, if you count that the local scene, people from other countries and people from other cities from here, it's going to be a lot of people on the show. But usually you don't see that here. Yeah. That
and additionally, there was a lot of people that were not from Bogota, like from other cities. I mean, here in Colombia, but from other cities. and you don't usually see them on here. They will not come for a small show. It was just because the festival was, it is something new. After 3 years, it is still something new.
We have a problem here, and it's like, I think in the US is more easily to travel from one city to another city that in here, you know, here is a little more harder to being travel from Bogota to Medellin for a show or things like that. So that makes that, you know, the Bogota shows, you're just going to see the people from Bogota. And in the Medellin shows, you're going to see just the people from Medellin. So that makes that you always be are going to stay in small shows, you know?
Yeah, that actually happened when we went to Medellin in July, June. I don't remember well. But you will think like, no, Speed Out is coming to Medellin. So some people of Bogota are coming to Medellin to see us. That's not happening. In the Medellin gig, there was like only people from Medellin and people, bands from there. Well, there was a band from Barranquilla, I think. And that's all. But most of the people there were from Medellin, and that's all. And it wasn't a big venue. Actually, it was like a, how would I say that? Salensaju. It wasn't a venue. Actually, it was
a very small room.
Yeah,
okay.
It wasn't a venue made for gigs.
Where the bands are practicing.
It was a practice room. That's all.
Yeah, usually you see shows in there because we don't have a lot of big venues.
And how far is Medellin from Bogota?
Actually, 8 hours, I think.
It's supposed to be eight hours in car.
In plane is like half an hour.
Okay.
No, like 2 hours. Like 2 hours in the plane.
1 hour.
Let's say one hour.
Yeah, that's it. It is four.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that far. I thought it was pretty close.
When we had
that gig in Medellin, it's supposed to be 8 hours from Bogota to Medellin in bus, but we actually, it took us like 12 hours, I think, because of the state of the highways and all of that. And it was, we had to start playing at 8 p.m. And we arrived in Medellin like
6 p.m.,
like an hour before we had to play. So it was everything in a rush to arrive the city and get to a venue, and everything. It was, I don't know, it was crazy.
¿De qué hablan del viaje a Medellín?
Sí.
Yeah, that was like 12 hours in a car.
That's too long. In
bus. That's, not even in a car, in a bus.
Yeah, in a bus. Mm-hmm. You know, we usually travel in buses here.
Yeah. There's a band from out here. They're touring out there. Zabalba, are you guys familiar with them?
They're going to play the other Saturday. Yeah, like 2 weeks.
Next Saturday, they're playing here in Bogota and Medellin. Actually,
now, are you guys going to be at that show?
Maybe. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, because I'm curious what that show is going to be like. Because out here, they're like they're really popular, but they don't do a lot of shows because people in the band are busy. They do other bands, so when they play, it's kind of like a special event. People always like to make sure to show up because, like I said, they don't play that often. So I'm just really curious to see what kind of turnout they're going to get touring out there.
Well, I think for them it's going to be easier being here, like making the tour here because of, they're already a known band, they have their own public and everything. So I think for them it's going to be easier to be here and touring between, at least in between those two gigs they have in Medellin and here in Bogota.
And what about I know Turnstile's going out there like sometime soon, right?
Oh yeah, they're coming.
Yeah, April, May. I'm not sure.
But yeah, like in April, May. But they are coming alone. They're going. They're not going to play with
any other band.
Yeah,
I mean, like they play like in a festival on here.
Mm-hmm.
They played on a very big festival on here, and it is not like a hardcore festival. So it was strange because no one thought that they were about to play there. It is usually a festival that invites like rap artists, trap artists, pop artists. And yeah. I think that makes sense now. They're not like fully a hardcore band. I'm not like saying bad things about them, but they're now not like a hardcore band.
Yeah, they gotten so big.
Like someone to open their show on here.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
They're in the mainstream now, so that's something actually normal.
Yeah, like when I meet people out here that listen to Turnstile, I get a little bit curious because I'm like, are they a hardcore kid or are they like a Turnstile, you know, fan that just found out about them from like the last record, you know? It's pretty interesting. Yeah. But no hate. I love Turnstile. Like I have some like Turnstile merch right here that I've never even worn. But I think it's awesome. Because when they play it here, it's always interesting because when you do a Turnstile show these days out here, there's like more like non-hardcore kids there than like actual hardcore kids.
Well, I think that's gonna happen in May. Well, when they come, well, then came.
Yeah.
Because that also happened in the big festival they were last year. Well, 2 years ago, actually, in 2021, I think. And for example, I started listening hardcore because of Turnstile a couple of years ago. Andres showed to me the band, and I don't know, it was a different sound at the moment, and it was interesting. So I started to listen to other hardcore bands because of Turnstile. And I think that was the idea to reach more people in the world, like with a different sound, with something more. Yeah, at the end of the day, they made a more mainstream, like soft hardcore. I don't know how to.
Yeah, it's like a more mainstream hardcore, but you know, when they were playing like the old things that they was playing like a few years ago, there was another band that was, you know, so mainstream like them. They was like from that group of bands like Trap on the Rise, like Backtrack, like that type of bands. And I remember that bands. Well, from here you see the videos from the lives of them, and you see a lot of people seeing them. So I don't know. I think they're always been like a big band.
No, 100%. Their first, like, I was at their first show in Southern California, like out here, and I wasn't sure. Like, I remember thinking I was in the room. I was like thinking to myself, like, I wonder how like their set's going to be. And this is their first time in Southern California in like a smaller venue. And no joke, literally everybody in the room was singing along. And I was like, this band's going to be something special because this does not happen. A new band to tour to Southern California and the whole entire room is singing along. It was a special energy. And I always just knew it was just a matter of time before they blew up. They've always been like, you know, popular and really good. Okay. And I'm curious because I got to experience, I feel like, a whole like range of different styles when I was at the fest. And like, one of the bands that stuck out to me was like Real House of Hate. I thought they were crazy. They were fun live. But even getting to see Raw Brigade, in their like hometown, I thought that was awesome. Cause I've seen Raw Brigade before and they've always put on a good performance, but just seeing it, you know, there in that setting, I thought that was just something really, really awesome. And then even for like the American bands, right, to see bands like big boy tsunami, you know, pressure, regulate, all get, you know, crazy reactions, which obviously like that stuff is like normal out here, but just to be in another country and to see them get that same energy, I thought it was just such a cool experience, and I was happy that I was able to get to witness it, you know, in your guys' country.
Yeah, it was pretty good at that moment. I think that the conception from someone from the USA, when they see how we enjoy the concerts, how we do the moshing and all those kind of things, like it is being out of the bubble for a second. I think it should be the same for us if we were in the USA, like looking at the concerts there and how do the people on the States like enjoy their things. It is a very different way, even that it is the same. It is like the same music, but it is all different at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, like we have Jeff Feet First, right? I feel like he's really important for his documenting, like the scene. He goes to a lot of shows, does a great job filming. And I feel like he, you know, grants access to a lot of people into, you know, certain scenes that they might not be able to travel out to. But when I traveled to your guys' scene, and I found out that you guys had, you know, your own videographer, Blurry Vision, right?
Yeah,
Felipe from
Blurry Vision. Saludos a Felipe, increíble.
Sí, Felipe, te amamos. Un beso para Felipe.
He's been in like all of our gigs. I don't know what. Well, not all of them, but many of them, and he's like our hateful gigs. It's like, I don't know, he's been in a lot of gigs and he always makes sure to record all the bands and, I don't know, have the best production possible. Because, yeah, he wants to show all the little bands that are starting here in the Bogota scene.
It is like a very DIY thing, but he does it with much love. Everything he does is with so much love in it. He also do like shirts, t-shirts. Local things like bands, brands, a lot of things. He's very passionate for everything he does. Even the channel, his Blurry Vision channel, is not just for hardcore. He has recorded like many other bands, like indie bands, emo bands, and
yeah, he have a lot of things.
He loves even music. At the end of the day.
He likes to be in the gigs and record them, and I don't know, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's like, well, he have a band, like one of the best hardcore bands that this city have. They are not active now, but it was called Strike. In that time, we have more good bands. We have a lot of bands. You know, that was like a crew called like Towers of Acre. They was playing with Raw Brigade, with bands like Coyote. Yeah, in that time was a lot of bands. So Felipe knows a lot of music here, because in that crew was, yeah, you know, you into that crew, you see bands of emo, you see bands of hardcore, you see a lot of bands of different type of genres. So yeah, he knows a lot of that. Even thanks to him and our photographer, John, many people have supported us from the beginning. And a lot of people know about Speed Out thanks to him, to Felipe, and his life sets. And our photographer that have a big Instagram page of hardcore shows, pictures and things like that.
Okay.
Jude Now Crew, in any way, Jude Now Crew on Instagram.
All right, I'll have to look it up. You know, what about your guys' crew? I was surprised the kind of reaction that you guys got at the fest, right? Being the first band on the second day, and there was a great amount of kids, you know, that came out that were, you know, moshing and singing along. And I was so stoked for you guys, because you'll even out here a lot of the times, you know, bands will open the show, people will be shy and not want to mosh or not want to sing along just yet because the show just started. But when I watched you guys play, like, your friends were just on it, like, you know, from the very beginning. And I think that was really cool that they had that energy and, you know, wanted to show you guys that support, especially for you guys, you know, opening up the fest. I feel like you guys did a really good job and set a great tone for the second day. So can you talk about, you know, why your friends are so passionate and so down to support Spit Out?
Yeah, well, they've been there like for a while, and they're, I don't know, there's like this crew that we have that at the end is RBD, Real Babies Damage. But there are some friends too that always support us, and they're always go to the gigs, and they know the lyrics of the songs and everything. And I don't know, I like that a lot. Like, they know the lyrics, and they came and they stole the mic and start singing instead of our singers. I don't know. I think that's amazing. I think that, at least to me, that's something that makes me want to, I don't know, be better at the moment of playing in the gigs to, because of them, because to give them a good show. And I don't know, they always support us with the merch, listening to the music, share the music, everything. And I don't know, I think that for being a short-term band, I think we are getting a good support at the time.
Yeah, we have a lot of support.
It's a lovely thing to see friends out there with or shirts or hoodies, knowing the lyrics, supporting us, moshing with us. More than just the fact that we have been a band, it is like the thing that we have created, like a kind of group, like a group of people that's always there. Not always, but like
most of the time. When
they can, they give all they can on the mosh or in the concerts, in whatever way they can.
That's awesome.
that's a good thing. Yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of people that don't even don't listen to hardcore before we start playing. And, you know, when we start to making shows, when we start to playing in the beginning, we start to see a lot of new people going to hardcore shows. And that's a crazy thing, because the scene here, how we say it in a funny way before, is dead. Because, you know, a lot of time you see boring bands, you know, you don't see something that you can say, oh, that's a great band or a new shit. Like, no, you see like a lot of copies of, oh, I don't know, of Madball or
New York hardcore again. Yeah, every single band on here sounds New York hardcore.
Yeah. Madball 2. Yeah. Thing like that.
We're not even in New York anymore.
yeah, that's true. So we start to try to create a different scene with different bands and different a different type of crowd. We're in that way. We're in that process. We create our crew, like, it's called Real Babies Damage, and we start playing with a great bands like Poison the Preacher, like Myopia. There are a few bands here that do great things, you know, do great music, but it's not the majority. Is that good to say? Yeah. It's not the majority of the bands that you're going to see here, but we are trying to change that. We're trying to make some different thing, more like, you know, a different thing, a more interesting thing for all the people that is going to see inside the scene of here, you know?
That's something funny like that happened with us.
Well, I think that it's not just the fact of the hardcore. It seemed like it having like a rebirth. Like, the hardcore scene is still dead on here. And even if they beat laughs about it, I think that is even all that underground stuff that is really like is having a new era now, because even the screamo and the emo scene on here has been having like some new bands on New York, and the fact that we're having like kind of a similar concept, like, I mean, not in the music, but a similar concept relating to our art and all those kind of things. We're seeing like very little kids also in the concerts, people like from 13, 14 years old that come to our gigs to see us play, and they're usually in some other thing like emo and indie concerts. And that's kind of good, because I think that the biggest goal we have achieved in some kind of way is that we're not just giving our music to the old people that have been in the scene from 10 years ago, but to the kids that are starting hearing hardcore music, punk music, instead of only the emo and the indie scene that is the one that is famous on here, we could say.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's something
I don't know what I'm going to say is a true fact, but I see, like, for example, in California, I see a lot of small people going to shows and a lot of kids going to shows. That not happening here in the hardcore scene. That happens here in the emo scene, in the screamo scene. And we're trying to make that happen in the hardcore shows, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So Andre can continue.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. We're kind of attracting like that little kids on our concerts, and even with the thing that
that's no. Yeah. Not attract little kids, not just like
you guys are just bringing out a younger crowd.
Yeah, bring people.
That's the younger crowd. Like, that's the word. People. That's the word.
Bring young people to sing, to listen to our music and all that stuff, because it's something that's funny. I think.
Oh my god! I'm so sorry.
I think that something like kind of funny that happens with us is like we have this also like this emo influence. I don't know, because for example, Title Fight is a band that I think all of us like, and. That happens that, for example, some people that actually don't listen to hardcore listen to our music, like our band, especially our band. I don't know, because we have also like this little emo influence. And I don't know, some people that you actually won't see in a regular hardcore gig, you will see them in our shows. And that's something interesting. Because I don't know, for example, in February we have a gig with Richard XX that it's not a hardcore band. For example, they're a neopunk band, I think. And I don't know, that's something interesting. Like people from other scenes have some interest in our music. Being at the end of the day, we're a hardcore band, so, and that's all.
And can you talk about, because you guys covered Drain and Title Fight, which I thought was awesome, because when you guys opened with Drain, I was like, why does this sound so familiar? And then Jeff pointed it out to me. He's like, oh, he's like, that was Drain. And I'm like, oh shit, that's why that sounded so familiar, which I thought was cool, because Drain, awesome band, awesome people. And then also Title Fight, that was something that I was just not expecting, because you know, even but before the set, remember Andre, like you and I were talking on stage, and I mentioned that I heard you guys, you know, while you were sound checking it and you were playing Title Fight, and then you told me that you guys were going to cover Title Fight. I thought that was just super awesome, because I'm a huge Title Fight fan. Like you can't see it, and you probably didn't notice when I was at the fest, but like all my glasses, I have a Title Fight engraved here. Maybe I can try to show you guys. It's gonna be kind of hard to see. I don't know if the camera will focus. Well, let's see. Hold on.
I'm trying to see it.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Focus, you stupid camera.
Kind of.
Oh yeah.
Okay, I see it.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to see because the camera doesn't want to focus, but like, yeah, like I have Title Fight like engraved on both sides because I'm like a huge fan. So
that's sick.
Yeah, so when I found out that you guys were covering them, I was just like, hell yeah, like I love that. And you know, minus the random like power outage during the cover, I thought you guys did a good job.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, we're a huge fan of all the California hardcore scene because, you know, we how I said before, we see a lot of people going to shows, a lot of younger crowd and a lot of people, yeah, just, you know, having fun with that. I thought it's a really fun scene from US. And Title Fight is just, yeah, Title Fight is my life, man. I love them. I just fucking love them. All of us love that fucking band. So yeah, that's great too. It's great to hear that. Thank you.
Okay, and I see the spit out hoodie. I've been trying to get one since I was in Bogota. Do you guys have any plans to make any new merch, or do you guys have any new items that you've already made?
Yeah, I tried. Well, yep. The art of the merch and the art of the band is do it by me. So, you know, we try to make a lot of merch in the way it's possible, you know, but it's hard because, you know, oh my God, my cat is so fucking crazy. It's hard because in here we don't have like easy ways to stay making a merch, you know, it's expensive. Yeah, it's so expensive. We are saying before, the scene is so small, so it's not going to be a lot of people that are going to buy it. So it's hard to make merch, but it's one of our priorities, you know? Just stay making, you know, graphic pieces in merch, in Instagram pics or things like that, in the flyers of the shows. Yeah, we always stay making that, like that graphic, I don't know how to say it, like graphic personality, that graphic, like personality from the band. I don't know how to say it, but I hope you're understanding me.
Yeah, I just really like that hoodie.
That hoodie, that, you know, when we make that hoodies, was so expensive to make it. Yeah, that's the reason why we just not.
We didn't make more making, of them.
Yeah, we were not making more of them because they were so expensive. But we hope we can make a restock of that. We really hope to. We could be able to do it in a few.
Yeah.
What size is that hoodie?
Mine, it's M, I think. Yeah, M. Yeah.
Okay. I was hoping for a large because I was gonna say I'll trade you a Title Fight hoodie for your spit out hoodie.
Oh, whoa. Yo, that's a crazy trade. That's a fucking crazy trade.
Let's see.
Oh my God.
He's literally searching for that hoodie.
What? Oh, really?
Wait.
Jamie told me when he was in Bogota that he wants to buy the John's hoodie, you know?
Yeah.
I was trying to find your merch guy, but he disappeared.
I didn't see the Title Fight hoodie.
Oh, you didn't see it?
I don't see. I just see the Felipe face. Can you say something, Jamie?
Oh, here it is. See?
Oh, there's.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's sick, man. If I have a speed out hoodie, I will do that trade.
I don't even have it,
you know.
Yeah, and I'll only do the trade for you guys because I know how much you actually like Title Fight. So I would be happy to trade it to one of you guys.
We can try to make something with that. We can try to make a trade happen.
Okay. Yeah. And what about new music?
One of the problems is that, you know, to send things to the US from here is so expensive, by the way, you know. But so, we can try to make that trade happen.
Okay.
Everything seems to be expensive on here.
I will bring that hoodie with me to the next festival in Bogota, the next 100%.
Okay. Yeah, that will be great. That will be great.
Okay.
That's a way to make it happen, yeah.
Okay. And you put out new music back in November 2023. Are there any plans to record any new music in 2024?
Yeah, we launched that promo. It's our album promo. So we hope we could end our full album in this year. And we could, como se dice, lanzarlo. Ayuda. We could release it in September or, you know, in the middle of this year. In the middle of the year, or of if we can't do that, we are going to secure be releasing it in the final of this year. But yeah, we are going to have our full album in this year. Yeah.
Okay, so full album, and then are you guys going to tour Colombia? How does that work?
That would be amazing.
It depends on how much money do we have at that time. Like, if we can save enough money from our jobs to be on tour, we could do it. That's pretty hard on here. As we said before, traveling inside Colombia is very difficult because of the state of the highways, the prices of the buses, and the airplanes. And well, most of the people here don't have a car, for example. So it is kind of hard for us to have like a road trip with friends and make it like easier, like just putting the gas money and those kind of things. It seems sometimes impossible, but it should be awesome to release that album. And even like not only playing in Colombia, but in some near places like, I don't know, Ecuador, or maybe in Mexico someday.
Argentina.
Argentina. Shout out to Mariscal X.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Mariscal X.
To do a Latin America tour will be something amazing at the end of the day. Because, the idea is to release the album this year and, promoted playing gigs and everything.
I hope we don't have that plus that the American bands have in the US. Like, I think I'm not secure, but I think the labels and the labels and all that record houses like Black Spot and that type of houses of music, they paid it, the tours of the bands, no? I think I'm not really
depends. It's not like always the same, but yes, some labels will definitely pay for bands to pay to help parts of the tour. Like, they'll get them a van or a bus or buy them plane tickets to get to like a certain area. It depends on the band and the label, but it does happen.
Okay. Yeah, we don't have that here. Yeah, we don't have that here. So it's so hard to do that kind of things, because I was saying before, we don't have a lot of people that go to hardcore shows, so we can't make like a profound shows for touring or things like that. It's really hard to do it.
Yeah, so, most of the times to make a gig outside of our city, we have to do a previous show to
to get the money to do that, gig that we have planned. For example, mm-hmm. I don't know, Medellin, Cali, another country, I don't know.
A few years ago, that was more able to do. Like, you know, a Raw Brigade do that. Before they travel for his first time, they make a profound show for travel to the US. I remember that show. I was there. But like that was like, you know, I think that was like 6 years ago, 5 years ago. And in that time, a lot of people stopped going to hardcore shows. So actually, it's really, really hard to do that. To, you know, you pay, make the band, the purpose band, pay the tour, the shows, and that kind of things.
Okay, if not a tour, maybe one big record release show.
Yeah, that's I think that we're going
that's
to do that.
That's possible. Of course, that's we're the most possible that. Thing.
Yeah.
The problem is finding the bands.
Kind of.
Well, yeah. Big bands.
Maybe bring a band from the United States over.
That would be great. We're thinking to. Well, I can't say this on here, but I will say it. We're trying to make a, I don't know if you have listened, Odiame, it's a New Jersey hardcore.
Yeah. The singer was just on the podcast a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. We with a friends, we're trying to bring in them from to play here with our band that is called Violencia. I don't know if you have heard Violencia.
No.
They're like a hardcore poor violins band from a part. I think they live in Texas, okay. And the other part live in Tijuana in Mexico. But they play in the U.S. constantly. So, yeah, we're trying to make that show happen if we could do it. But we need to make a lot of shows to perform that to make the money for that.
Yeah,
and that's the hard thing. To make that and make a tour with them, but like that's the good idea.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good pairing because they can speak the language, so it won't be too foreign for them, you know. Because I know sometimes the language barrier can be hard, but I think they'd be a great choice to have them play in your country.
Yeah, they are a sick band. They're just a fucking sick band, and yeah, they are Latinos, so yeah, that would be great. To bring them here.
Okay. And like before the fest, I told a bunch of my friends out here that I was traveling to Bogota for the fest, and I always heard people, they would get kind of worried. They would ask like, hey, is it safe, isn't it dangerous down there? And to be honest, I didn't know, so because like all I knew was the stuff I saw on YouTube, right? Before getting down to Colombia, all I knew is like, the stuff that Jeff had told me about his trip last year. And then I watched a bunch of like YouTube vloggers who were like vlogging in Colombia. And, from my perspective, it didn't seem dangerous. Like people were like, telling me about it. I was like, I don't know. It seems fine. And then when I finally traveled down there, there were some parts, I ended up like our hotel was right by the tolerance zone. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where is that?
Santa Fe.
Ah, gonorrhea. Oh my God.
It is dangerous down there.
Yeah, it's pretty dangerous.
So check this out. One morning I got lost because I was trying to go to get some drinks, and I guess I made a wrong turn, and I was just walking, and then I ended up in the tolerance zone, and I at that point I realized I was lost, so I started asking people. I'm like, hey, where can I get some drinks? And people were like, what are you doing here? Like, what are you looking for? And I was like, I don't know, where am I? And then they explained to me like where I was, and. Damn. And then it kind of sunk in. I'm like, okay, oh, this is that dangerous place that people are telling me about. And obviously, like, I, you know, just stuck to myself. I wasn't trying to be, you know, too talkative, but I got out of there. But for the most part, I felt that it wasn't as dangerous and as scary as people like made it out to be. Cause obviously I felt like, it reminded me of like, you know, some places out here. I'm like, okay, like there's tons of dangerous places out here, but you just have to be mindful on where you're at, where you're going, you know, don't go certain places after dark, don't go alone. So, I was just curious, can you talk about, you know, how, safe Columbia actually is? Cause, you know, like I said, I got lost, ended up in the tolerance zone, but I made it out fine. I kind of scurried back to my hotel, which luckily wasn't that far away.
Yeah, you did fine. Well, that depends of a lot of things, you know, depends the hood, depends, you know, the hours you are going to that hood. Yeah, there's a lot of things that depends of that, because, well, the people we play in Speed Out, we don't live in
great nearby places,
homes of the city. Yeah, we all live in, you know, just no super danger places and hoods, but you know, there are some that
but they're not like the best places to live.
Yeah,
I mean, like, for example, I think that Felipe and me live like in places that are supposed to be dangerous, but when they come to here, they're not. But for example, the place in which you were staying, it's like a strange thing that happens in this kind of cities. Like, one street away, there is a place that is very dangerous. You can get robbed, you can get stolen your things, but just two or three streets away from there, there is this place where all the rich people stays when they travel. And that's something that happens in big cities. I think that most in South America, I think that in any point I talk with a Chilean guy that talked to me like Santiago de Chile is similar. Like, one street is for rich people and one street is for poor people. And in one street they get is a rob very often, but it is separated by literally nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's like that out here too. In LA, there's a street called Skid Row. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with it. It's like in like the downtown area, but like literally like one street, you're literally in like little Tokyo. It's nice. And then one street over, it's like The Walking Dead. There's like, you know, tons of homeless people, a lot of disease, and it gets really scary. But that's why when I was out there, I was like, okay, like I'm familiar with like this. Like, it wasn't that shocking to me, and I didn't feel any more, I didn't really feel any more danger than I would normally feel like when I'm at home, you know, just because I'm like aware of my surroundings. I'm not just like, you know, doing like random things, like, you know, like I'm not just wandering the streets at night. Like, I didn't go to the tolerance zone at night, right? I got lost, ended up there like in the morning, like, you know, probably around like 11 or 10 a.m. So it wasn't scary.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. just for
clarifying.
Yeah, for asking your question, I think, yeah, is that good?
Answering.
Well, answering your question, Bogota is not the safest place that you could you could stay, but I think it's not
it's not the safest place, but if you know where to stay,
you're not going to have problems. Like you're going to get robbed or things like that, you know. I think that happens more to the local people that to strangers and people that is here to tourists or that kind of things.
All right, so yeah, I've been telling everybody next year, go to the fest in Bogota. It's amazing. I was so blown away at how nice everyone was, right? Like everybody that I encountered, you know, for me, it's like I'm the foreigner traveling to your guys' scene, but everybody that I dealt with was just so friendly and so nice and just seemed so happy to be at the fest. So that's one thing that I really appreciated. And that's one thing I always try to tell people. Because like, well, when I came home, a lot of people asked me like how it was. And I tell everybody, I'm like, hey, you should go out there. They have an awesome scene, right? The kids are passionate. The kids are in tune. They know what's going on. So I highly recommend that you go out there and try to experience it. Because after the fest was over, I told Jeff and Carl, the friends that I went with, I was like, hey, like, we have to come back next year. Like, this was such a good time. I'm sad I didn't go last year, but this is something that I want to go to every year. As long as it's happening, I want to travel down and experience the fest.
Yep. Yeah. <All right. laughs> More than that, well, like a personal opinion, it could be awesome that the people from the States could stay like a little bit longer just to live like the full experience of like the local concerts. Like, I mean, the fest is amazing, but to live what the scene lives in the concerts and, well, doing its things, it should be awesome too.
All right. Well, before we sign off, I just want to say, you know, thank you. I truly appreciate you guys taking the time to do this and come on the podcast. But before we go, is there any last words that you guys want to say?
I don't know. Yeah. Just like listen to our music. I hope this could make a lot of people from US and other countries come here to see the local scene, even if it's in the fest that is making like all years, that is 100% hardcore fest. And yeah, just I would like to send a couple of greets. Ay, como un saludito a Mistake, a todo el parche Larry, al Baby's Damage. Y ya, no sé los demás que tenga que decir.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for the invitation, for having us here in your podcast. I think it's a great experience being here and talking about all this stuff.
I forgot to say that. It's a big achievement to stay here because, you know, the Latin bands usually don't have like a big eyes from people from the US, and you know the US is like the biggest hardcore scene of all the world. So yeah, it's a big achievement to know that we're having this space and people from there is listening to us. So yeah, thank you so much. This is a big thing for us.
It's amazing to be here talking about the band, the scene, the festival, everything. And well, we'll be releasing our album, our first album this year. That's the idea. And I don't know. I think it's amazing to know that people from the US, well, they liked our music. That, I don't know. I think it's great to see like people like you from other countries. I don't know. Experience this, like it's such a different thing that I imagine with the band when we started. And I don't know. I think we're going in a good path. And thank you.
Yeah. Thank you too again for the invitation, for having us on here, for sharing our music once again. And well, that's all, I think.
All right.
I want to say,
go ahead.
To send a greeting to Avery from Cutdown and Again. Because he was like the first person that you know, he say that, oh my god, Speed Out sounds good, and he was there like listening to us that day in the fest, and he was so fucking great with us, and yeah, just that. We hope we could go and play there in the US
someday,
yeah, because it's hard for us, but we hope we could make that and live that experience, and yeah, okay. That's all. Thank you, man.
If you guys ever make it to America, let me book you in Orange County. We'll book you a program, get you a sick show. So if you guys ever make it out here, just let me know. I'll make it happen.
Amazing. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That will be great.
That will happen someday. That will happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely that is going to happen someday.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time. Spit Out is always welcome on the podcast. Maybe we can do it again when the record comes out later this year. But seriously, thank you for your time.
Sure, man.
Thank you for everybody tuning in. We'll be back soon. Thank you and goodbye.
Bye.